Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live. Rory. From the Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. I'll tell you what happened in a second. Not good for Rory, as you could probably tell. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience. If anybody's got a liquid vacuum cleaner, you can kind of suck up the liquid, bring it on in. There's a good chance I will be a puddle within 2 minutes into this open. I don't know what's going on in this studio, but I'm dying, man. It is so hot in here. It's hotter in here than it is outside. I don't know if I can do this, man. This is brutal. All right, so here's what's happening with the golf. I'll get to Tiger in a second. Rory. Rory was a mess yesterday, as we know. Going back to Northern Ireland, right? Obviously had the course record there years ago when he was 16. Royal Portrush, what did he shoot, a 61? I think it was 61. And just didn't have it. And from the first swing, the golf god said, not today, buddy. Zapped him with an 8. And obviously Rory had to finish the day like a pro and bang it around. Made a little noise mid-round to kind of stabilize it. But obviously, he was going to have to go very low today just to see the weekend. Forget about winning. And he came out, and he seemed like he was up for it, like a man possessed. He was dropping birds. He had I think he's 6-under for the round. Mike, he's still 6-under, right? 6-under for the round. He bogeyed 13. He just missed, I'm going to guess, about a 12.5, 13-footer on birdie for 17. If that would have dropped in, that would have got him to plus one, which is where the target cut line is right now. Right now, he's at plus two. So instead, he had a tap-in par, and on 18, went with an iron. I guess wins, whatever, just narrow. You know, he went with the iron and had a longer second shot. Obviously knows what he's doing, and he felt comfortable with it. And he put it right in the middle of the fairway, and all he had to do was nestle, I would guess, a 9-iron, maybe a wedge, depending upon if the wind's in his face or not. And if he was, he's got to be so beside himself as I watch him walk up the fairway now. I've obviously got the golf channel right below it here. He, with an iron in his hand, he just sprayed it to the right. And obviously, you play over in Ireland, there's all bumps and there's all mounds and all sorts of impediments. It hit one of those impediments and banged to the hard right. So now, instead of having a putt to birdie and get to the cut line, he's got to chip this one in. Man, oh man, what is he thinking? He sticks his hand up and he accepts the praise from the crowd. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. So unless he holds out and goes Larry Mize or does something wacky, Rory's not making the weekend. Sam's just bringing the fan in. Oh, look at this. Team effort here. Team effort. You got some ice cubes too, Dave? I love it. Bring it all. Whatever you got, bring it in. Bring in fans. Fan me down. Wow. All right. So Tiger Woods, I hate to be this guy today, but because I've been largely positive with Tiger Woods. This goes back to after the latest surgery, where I really started to watch his swing numbers and his swing speed and his ball speed. Oh, that's phenomenal, Samter. Oh, my God, that is good. That fan is huge. Thanks, buddy. It's like an old-school grandma fan, but it's good. It's good. So, Tiger, we know the event that Tiger has. And I got all my papers because my papers are flying. The event that he has in the Bahamas is like 18 or 19 guys, no cut line, December, whenever it is, late November. And I remember coming in with Teak. I said, Teak, I don't know, man. He might be able to grind. This was after the fusion. Might be able to grind his way back here a little bit. He was cranking it. He looked fluid. He looked good. And then when I checked the data and I noticed that the ball speed and the swing speed was in line with his career slightly above average, I said, okay, now I know that he's not physically limited. Not physically limited. Now he's got to get his touch back. You know, he's got to chip away at the rust. He's got to remain healthy. He's got to practice. He's got to get his confidence back. And, you know, beating balls in Florida is different than playing four rounds of competitive golf. So there were all these hurdles, all these little benchmarks that Tiger Woods had to get to. And every time, then you know I watch my golf. Check, 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 check. Such promise. Such great indicators that Tiger Woods was maybe going to do something that very few people thought he could do, and that's compete. Then he started to compete, and he's hanging around. The Open Championship, Molinari, wow, he's in contention, back nine. You kidding me? I remember before we moved to our home, we were still in our condo. We were at the pool, and, I mean, the pool was captivated. Everyone's like, yo, you see what Tiger's doing? Yo, Tiger. I mean, we all left the pool. It was really, really cool to see. And to see that buzz back and to hear it, to feel that it was palpable. And then obviously last year with, you know, almost takes out Brooks Koepka at Belrive and St. Louis PGA Championship. I mean, Brooks is in his 20s and Brooks is a beast. No shame losing to him. But Tiger showed, you know, and I think he showed the younger guys like that roar, like that different sound was back, right? Brooks felt it. He talked about it. We had Brooks on the show. And then he goes and he wins. And he wins the final event. And he actually raises his arms, a winner. And now we're like, okay, let's flip this thing to 2019. Let's see how many majors the man's going to win. And he won the Masters, something I told you I really thought he was going to do. But now we're at a very dark point for Tiger Woods. And I set up all that because I have to get to this. Oh, I don't even want to say it. I think... I mean, I'll leave the store slightly ajar for a legend, but in my heart, I actually think it's over right now for Tiger Woods. I think it's over. Now, I've never said that. And the reason why I think it's over, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, I just saw a picture on Twitter. Tying his shoes during the round, he sat down on the ground to do it. And you want to talk about a depressing image, because I've done that. And I know when you're doing that, you ain't right. And I'm like, okay, that's number the first swing yesterday. And we showed it a few times here on the network if you're watching on the simulcast. The first swing, that's the first. Look at this. Not right. First swing with an iron. Not a little too heavy. By the way, this was a sick bunker shot. I didn't think he could even do that. But the first swing, not like the big dog, and he tried to air it out 340. An iron. Just merely try to hit the fairway, which, by the way, he did not. Gamely grinds through, sideways rain. You know, blustery, intermittent, horrendous conditions in Ireland. Sun pops out, then it's wet, then it's windy. Sun's back, then it's wet, then it's windy. He had a play through that. Didn't play well. Played poorly. We know that. Three bogeys. This was round two today, by the way. And a couple of birdies. Came back gamely today. But it's the evidence in the expressions of his face. But even more directly, he said something today that was really ominous. You know what he said? He said, I just want to go home. That's what he said. I just want to go home. You know, and, you know, so you could obviously, not only get in trouble, but it's probably not a wise way to live your life always, even if it's not jealousy, but like wondering, thanks, Mike, why certain, we're going to hear from Tiger in a moment, like why certain things happen, because that's just, it's a dangerous way to live because you could probably overlook a lot of positives in your life, you know. You know, and any of us who have had back pain, you know, you try to play golf, and I'm sure you look at your buddies at some point, and you're like, man, why, you know, I probably even work out more than they do. Like, why can't I swing? Like, why is this happening to me? But if you do that, again, you overlook things that are far more important, and you could go down a negative path, and that doesn't do anybody any good. So I say that because I still have to. You really bringing ice, you maniac? I'm okay now. The fan's fine. Thanks, Dave. He's bringing in buckets of ice. That's hysterical. Look at that. That is, Dave, that's great. Thanks, brother. I think that when Tiger Woods now looks around the golf course, because he proved to the young guys, and more importantly to himself, and most importantly to his kids. See, that was the mountain he needed to scale as a man, as a father. You know, YouTube's great, little grainy footage. Hey, 97, look at that. I was young. I was virile. I was the man. My whole life in front of me. YouTube gets a little depressing after a while. You know, what's the line from The Sopranos? When Tony said, you know, one of the most depressing lines of human communication is when you say, and you start something with, remember when? Because you don't really forge forward. You just live in the past. You just always recollect like what was. Wow, remember when? Now, there's time and a place where you do that, obviously. But if you do it too much, you're not moving forward. You're either neutral or, to Tony's point, going backwards. And I think that Tiger Woods now looks around the golf course and says, a combination of why me physically and I just don't think I've got the juice and the gas to even try to do this anymore because he won. I think if he didn't win at Augusta, I think Tiger would still be on, you know, that, you know, pedal to the floor and just trying to somehow find his way back to the freeway. He found it. He slayed it. He got the major. His kids saw it. This is coming probably from the most positive Tiger Woods person. And by the way, among the most accurate Tiger Woods people in our business, me, I think he's done. I don't think Tiger Woods wins again. Big. That's it. You know, because think about this. 2019, in terms of the majors, over. PGA already here. So he's not grinding through the Open Championship with a purpose to come back and try to steal the fourth major of the year. So all of a sudden, this thing presses into 2020. And I know he's still got the FedEx, and hopefully he's fine. I mean, it wouldn't stun me if he pulls out of an event or two. Wouldn't stun me. And now he's got to wrestle with the inability to practice at a level that he needs to practice at to compete, and a staleness that will and that has already infiltrated his golf swing due to his inability to compete. I think Tiger's probably mentally ready to bail on golf. I think he's ready to probably mentally bail on golf. You know, when you're hammering, I don't even like the Hickory Woods on late night shows when you're three, you know, and your dad's just pounding you into submission, in somewhat of a positive way, shaping him. I think there was some negative residue from that as well with his pops, even though he loves him tremendously. I think that really just, he's shot. I just think he's shot. You watch him, you know, shoulders slumped. That's not fun. It's not fun, you know? That's not fun. I remember, again, this is a ridiculous comparison, but I do think anytime you could take, I think it works. I remember when I had Tommy John surgery, and my buddy's like, dude, why aren't you, this is after college, why aren't you playing softball? And I'm like, because I can't throw the ball the way I want to, and that's not fun. I mean, if I used to be able to whiz it around, I had a great arm. I'm not going out there in a softball diamond, you know, with an arm that's, you know, 65 to 70% of what it was. That's not fun. That's limited. That's a shell of what you were. Now imagine what he feels, you know? That's just a recreational aspect in my own warped athletic mind, you know? Important to me, but admittedly in the great scale of athletic competition, basically a zero. I get it. I don't know, man. I don't think he's in a dark place with his life. I want to be clear about that. I think he's in a dark place with golf. I do. And I hate that I said that today. I really thought about that. I hope I'm wrong. Hey, if I get burned, old takes, YouTube, I hope I'm wrong with this. And there's not much that I hope I'm wrong with. We all like to be right. But doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. All right, 1-855-212-4227. Maybe you see something else that I'm missing. But the body language, the creakiness, the slumped shoulders, the slow stride, the post-round comments, which we'll play for coming up. You know, forget about catching Jack. You know, now you have to wonder, what's the next event that he tees it up competitively at? I think that's really up in the air. I really do. All right, Tiki and Tierney, we got Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up this hour. We'll do some more. By the way, the comments that Jim Harbaugh made that Tiki and I discussed yesterday, Tiki obviously out, that was not even a Big Ten Media Day. Big Ten Media Day, a lot came out today. That was on a podcast with Tim Kawakami from The Athletic. So I've got a lot of thoughts on what was said today, not just by Harbaugh about the Urban Meyer comments, which he was obviously asked about, But all the Big Ten coaches, all 11, weighed in on the portal system. A lot of interesting stuff. So we're going to jump around a little bit today, a little Baseball Hall of Fame as well, football at the 40s. But do you agree with my assertion, as reluctant as I was to drop it on air? Are you with me? Do you think that this is it for the great Tiger Woods? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, summer's here, so is the unbearably hot weather. Tell me about it. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during summer months. You know how that heat and just drained the life out of you. It sucked the life out of me the first 5 minutes before they saved me with a fan and ice cubes and water. Imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat more than cold can shorten your battery's life. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak performance, so stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now. Have your battery tested free of charge, free. If it needs replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that will fit your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store nearest you, just visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Okay, it's a Friday, obviously, as we zoom toward the later stages of July. It's amazing. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Teak is out. He's back Monday. 1-855-212-4227 on Twitter. You wanted to jump in on the Tiger Woods stuff. At Tiki and Tierney, at Brandon Tierney. You want to get me directly, it's all good. I'll give you some thoughts. By the way, it's the Hall of Fame weekend of baseball, which I love. I am one of those. I will, although I'll be traveling, I'm going to have to DVR this because I'm going to be on the road with the big three both tomorrow and Sunday, which will be cool. Going to Kansas City and Oklahoma City. So I'm going to have to DVR the speeches. I just love it. I love hearing their baseball journey. You know, they're very, very poignant. And Mariano, best of all time, classy, the absolute best. Edgar Martinez, again, I'll expand on this a bit later, but Edgar was just, you know, those Yankee-Seattle rivalries were pretty good back in the day, and Edgar was the one. I would rather see Griffey at the plate than Edgar Martinez. He was one of those guys who hit everything hard, like he always squared up a baseball, and that's hard to do. The great Roy Halladay, may he rest in peace. Mike Mussina. We've had debates on Mussina. I'm okay. Yeah, I guess he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he literally is a Hall of Famer. But when this first came out, I knew. I don't know. I've got a high standard for this. I do. That's why I see somebody like Lee Smith. He gets in as well, and Harold Baines. And that's obviously a different conversation, Harold. But I'm not going to have that conversation today because yeah, there's varying degrees of Hall of Fame-ness, if you will. But today's not the day to critique their candidacy. They're in. I'm going to certainly let them have the stage, have the moment. We'll do a little baseball later on. All right, Tiger Woods. Mike, this is post-round, right? Let's hear from Tiger. What'd he say?
Those were some of the lowest times of my life. This is not. This is just me not playing well and not scoring well and adds up to high scores.
Okay, this the comparison to 2015 when he had all sorts of issues. Remember, he couldn't ship the ball. His body was a ravaged mess, clearly off the course issues. So that's good for him to extinguish those fears immediately. With all due respect, though, while I believe he's fine off the course, I think he's reaching for a little positivity there, which I respect. It doesn't sound incredibly authentic to me, incredibly believable to me. Like he necessarily knows what's next. Mike, what's the other cut? I'm sorry. We have another one about Tiger. What was this about? All right, just moving forward. Here he is. More Tiger.
It's just a matter of being consistent. That's one of the hardest things to accept as an older athlete is that you're not going to be as consistent as you were at 23. You know, things are different. And I'm going to have my hot weeks. I'm going to be there in contention with the chance to win, and I will win tournaments. But there are times when I'm just not going to be there. And that wasn't the case, 20 some odd years ago. had a different body and was able to be a little bit more consistent.
All right. Again, pretty direct. You did hear him say, I'm going to win more tournaments. I love hearing him say that. Boy, I'd love to be wrong. But the one thing about this is, again, I know I keep pointing, and I'm sure we can roll it back at some point. Just watch his face. And I'm obviously this is for the TV audience. But the first swing yesterday, that's, you know, that wasn't the case earlier this year. Like, we didn't, at least I got past the point of worrying about Tiger Woods physically. And then he takes the first swing of the event, and he looked like me, or he looked like you, if you've had back issues. I mean, he looked like somebody. The last thing he's going to do is compete at the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. So, you know, props for the grindage, props for finishing like a champion. You know, the one thing we can't quantify, though, and this is, it applies to tennis players who generally have a much shorter shelf life than golfers. But when you are a prodigy, and that's what Tiger Woods certainly was and forever will be, a golfing prodigy, a gift from the heavens, from the sporting heavens. I mean, there's only so many that we get. A Muhammad Ali, a Babe Ruth, a Wayne Gretzky, a Michael Jordan, a Tiger Woods, Derek Jeter, Mickey Mantle. I can just rip off 9 Yankees in a row, but I won't. Kobe, you know, just LeBron, Durant. I mean, these are just special. Jack, you know. These are special people. But when you're doing it from the age of 3 or 4, you know, it's not just the physical attrition, the grinding on the joints and the withering away of cartilage and ligaments and, you know, eventually bone meets bone. It's inevitable. It's the mental burden of trying to carry that gift as Tiger did for so long. He's 43, you know? So not everybody's with me, and boy, I hope I am wrong. And I think that Jesse in Tampa, he's not going to give up yet on Tiger Woods. Jesse's on Tiki and Tierney, Tampa. That's 10:40 a.m. Jesse, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
Hey, I'm great. I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I think with Tiger, I feel like we've been here before, and I said the same thing you did a couple of years ago, even last year before the Masters, but I feel like he always has the Masters in his back pocket, because even when he couldn't play anywhere else, he's successful there. The course doesn't change like all the other places. And I feel like, I don't know if it's a contractual obligation or an ego thing or what, but if I'm him, I'm taking a couple months off here when I want to, or maybe not that long, but just planning it out. I'm not going to overdo it like he did last year and like he's done this whole time. Dude, take a rest, come back, get your mind right, put it on. You're one of the few guys that can do that, and I'll listen. Thank you.
Well, the one thing, I appreciate the call there, Jess. He has not overdone it this year. Matter of fact, he's been largely invisible on the PGA Tour. I mean, you know, since the Masters, Masters, PGA, the new calendar this year into the U.S. Open at Pebble, I mean, he's been invisible, I mean, really since the U.S. Open. So last year, now maybe that's the residue, he's feeling it now, just overexerted himself here. But the point about always having Augusta in his back pocket, true, but you still need to be of sound body to be able to get up there, stick that little peg in the turf and whack away and hit your targets and know that your body's going to reciprocate and respond properly. I hear you. I mean, if he's healthy and he just squeezes in a little bit of work so he's not rusty, yeah, in terms of pin placement, in terms of undulations, in terms of knowing where to hit it, more specifically, where not to, which obviously brings in bogey or worse in certain holes, certain situations, the shifting winds that are subtle that you can't even really see on TV, but if you're on the grounds of Augusta, you feel them, you know them, how it impacts your ball flight. These are all things he could write a book, and he's fine, but he's got to be able to swing. And the Tiger Woods, again, what I saw today was much more positive than yesterday. But here's the other thing. And it, you know, for lack of a better word, I mean, I'd like to sound more intelligent than this. It sucks because you can't plan things out. You can't. Like, when you have a bad back, you can't say that you can, but a lot of times your plans go down the chute. You can't say, yeah, well, let's play Bethpage in 3 weeks. We have a 9:18 tee time. Great. Okay, I'll be there. Because you don't know if your back's going to be okay. That's the way it goes. So now imagine actually trying to go and shoot low and the torque, it's, you know, it's ridiculous. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to leave it at we'll see. You know where I stand. Don't need to beat this to a bloody pulp. Hope I'm wrong. Don't need to be overly redundant here. But I'm worried about Tiger Woods, big time. Not off the course, on the course. 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. We've got Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up. Mike will play the role of me, and then I will also play the role of me. Let's see, a little something on Tyreek Hill, a little something on the Phillies and the Dodgers, a little trash talk. That was pretty good. Scheduling in baseball, something on the Big Ten. And speaking of the Big Ten, top of the hour, I want to circle back to a lot of the things Teek and I touched yesterday, starting with Harbaugh, who spoke about Urban Meyer. Let's be honest, as much as I love Jim, a little weak since Urban's not there. I mean, he owned you. I mean, he beat you 4 times out of 4. 3 of the 4 times, he beat you by double digits. And the 1 year that Urban Meyer's not there, which is now, that's when you go out there and say that Urban Meyer's past is shady. Come on, Jim. You should have said it last year. But that was on a podcast. So now everybody circled back at Big Ten Media Day. He expounded on that. Didn't necessarily flinch. Really more so double down. We'll get to that. And also, all the coaches chimed in on the portal system. And I heard something that finally made some sense. And it was from one of the lower profile coaches in the conference. I'll get to that as well, I promise. Axe update is right now. Inbounds, out of bounds right after that. Here's Rich Ackerman. All right, Inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a sec here on Tiki and Tierney. Minus Teak today. He's back Monday, CBS Sports Radio. Let's do this. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us or me today anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag AskThePros. Listen later on. Stick around. I'll answer the best one. So make it good. A little baseball Hall of Fame, a little golf, Tiger, my comments there. Big Ten Media Day or any of the media days. A lot of topics, a lot of content. Training camps obviously upon us here. Good time to be a sports fan. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know, I got a tweet, and it actually made me think. And I was, this is to our show account, at Tiki and Tierney. And this is John Narocco, at J underscore Narocco, or Nucero. Nucero. Nucero or Nucero. And he says, he may be able to give up for the Masters, obviously talking about Tiger, but that's about it. Freddie Couples used to be able to play and play well there with a bad back. You know, and I thought, I'm saying, that's true. I feel like there were a lot of Thursdays and Fridays. Ah, look, boom, boom. Boom, boom's on the first page of the leaderboard. Nice. Maybe Freddie's going to make a little noise over the weekend. There's two differences. One, I'm not positive about. One, I am. I don't know that Couples ever had fusion. I mean, I could obviously look that up, but I just saw this right before I came back on the air. I know he had a few back procedures. I don't know that he had a fusion. And even if he did, Mike is probably checking that out now. But the other thing, think about how easy his swing is. That's what's amazing about Freddie Couples. He still pounds it. He doesn't even swing. Then envision Tiger's explosion, the torque. It's crazy. And that's a big difference. It's a big difference right there. Okay, inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
That's after. D-Cell. Over, under on stumbles today. Why don't you pick it? What do you got?
I'm going to go over just because it's so hot.
Okay, so at least everybody knows that I'm not a maniac here.
Yeah.
It's
built
hot.
Excuse.
You guys hot in there too?
Yeah.
It's
not as bad. The AC just kicked on, so this cools down obviously a lot quicker than yours.
Yeah.
But just to clarify, it looks like Davis Love did
not
have
Davis
fusion.
Love, Freddie Couples.
I'm sorry. So this actually says Davis Love, so maybe that person's getting confused because I Googled Freddie Couples.
Yeah.
And everything I'm seeing is kind of Davis Love related. So
really? That's weird.
But it looks like Couples did have a surgery on his back. I don't know if it was officially fusion.
No, he definitely did, but
back
a while
ago. Back in 2010, 2011 or so.
He may have had a second because I believe he had one quite a long time ago. Either way, I know he's obviously had an issue with his back. I just don't know if it's fusion, but okay, there you go. Let's hit it, Mike. Let's see what you got.
Well, after a long investigation, the NFL officially announced today that it would not suspend Chiefs Tyreek Hill for alleged child abuse.
Yeah.
The back and forth the case involved Child Protective Services. then no charges being filed, the case being dropped, the secret recording of Hill by his girlfriend and mother of the child. As we remember, Hill was also accused by the same woman for choking her back in 2014.
Yeah.
The NFL's decision to not suspend Hill at all is inbounds, out of bounds.
First of all, it's inconsistent with how they usually do business. And this is a really tough one. I mean, I almost don't know how to answer this because you listen to the recordings, you read what you read, you know, you surmise what you... When you hear something and you read something, it's impossible not to further deduce. And when you do that, you know, it could lead you down the wrong path. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I know that secret recordings can very well be manipulated because, you know, you could record me, I don't know, for 2-3 minutes, and, you know, I could say 12 or 13 things that are not in line with what you're trying to get me to say, and you delete them, and nobody hears them. So the context is, it's just very, very erratic. I can't come up with a hard answer here, so I'll say inbounds, because I'm going to say inbounds because if you believe, and you have to, and I do, innocent until proven guilty, how do you possibly say that he should have been suspended if there were no charges filed? That's inconsistent with what has helped shape our country from a law point of view. So I'll say inbounds, but it's a tough one.
Are you in or are you out?
Last night, the Phillies won a key game against the Dodgers to split the 4-game set. But the Dodgers were none too happy about the antics of Phillies closer Hector Neris. After Neris got the final out, he stared into the L.A. dugout and shouted an obscenity towards the bench.
Ooh.
The Dodgers took exception to that, and skipper Dave Roberts responded after the game.
We played this game, this series, the right way, played it straight. And so to look in our dugout and to taunt in any way, I think it's unacceptable. To look in our dugout, you know, I think that exceeds the emotion. Look in your own dugout.
Neris' reaction to the final out was inbounds or out.
All right. I would, you know, I don't love it. I don't love it, you know, but we've seen closers do flips. Remember Chapman did a flip? I mean, we've seen some crazy stuff, yeah. We see the arrow to the sky. We've seen all sorts of wacky dances and stare downs. And by the way, I love those old Philly uniforms. Mike Schmidt, Von Hayes right there. How about that? My answer is inbounds, all right, as just, I guess, an overriding premise. So I'm going to say inbounds, but I will say this about Neris here. Specific to him, I guess you should act like you've been there before, like Barry Sanders. The problem is against the Dodgers, he's usually not there because his numbers against the Dodgers are horrendous. Here's what they are. 0-2, 8.49 ERA versus the Dodgers. 6 save opportunities, he's blown 3. So this is a guy who, you know, probably a little overzealous in his celebration because he's not used to doing well against the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers always have the right, you know, not that you really want to see this, but go confront them in the tunnel. I mean, there's the locker rooms, clubhouses meet. I mean, go find them. You know, a couple of guys, you know, Muncy and Kershaw was staring him down. I get it. That would probably rub me the wrong way as well. I don't love it. That's not how I would do it personally. It's not how I ever did it. But inbounds because you have the right to stop me. Don't let me celebrate. I know that you hear that a lot. Stop me. And that I can't do what I did. So I'll say inbounds on that.
Are you in or are you out?
The Houston Astros lead the West, and it's down to 5.5 over the A's at this point.
Uh-oh.
Another team is upset with baseball scheduling. After last night's win over the Angels in Los Angeles, the Astros were forced to fly back to Houston for tonight's game against the Rangers, landing after 5 o'clock in the morning and giving them less than 14 hours between the games. Houston outfielder Josh Reddick told the Houston Chronicle, quote, "To censor myself, it's BS. I don't think one person is happy about the night game travel. I think it's a complete misjudgment on how they make a schedule. It's absurd, really." Baseball making teams play a, quote, getaway day night game with a game the next day is inbounds or out.
100% out of bounds. He's absolutely right. Everybody on the Astros is 100%, 1,000% right in their strong convictions that they're getting screwed, because they are getting screwed. I mean, think about this. Generally, the way – and I'm not saying it's easy to make a schedule, and I think it was Real Sports had had a segment a while ago, up until a couple of years ago. It was a husband and wife, if you could believe that, who made the – yeah, look at D-Cell's like, what? Trust me, I thought the same thing. It wasn't really digital. It was – they lived in like a log cabin. So you could find it. It's crazy. I couldn't believe it was that like – that Neanderthal. It just seemed incredibly antiquated. Please. But if you're playing on a Wednesday at 105, you're the visiting team. There's a reason why you have, you know, day games in the middle of the week. Play the game. Hopefully it's a quick one. Generally the umpires kind of wink, wink, expand the zone. You know, let's not squeeze anybody here. Let's get out. We got to get to the airport. Got to get to City X or City Y or City Z. To play a night game on a getaway day is unforgivable. It's really a disgrace. The Astros, nothing else to say. The Astros are 1,000% right. It's unfair, it's unjust, and it's unacceptable. Can't happen.
Are you in or are you out?
I mean, isn't it just millionaires whining about not sleeping enough?
Stop.
I
mean, how many times
have I, like, worked till, like, 2 o'clock in the morning and had to wake up at 6 and then work again? I mean, listen, it's the struggle of the American working man. Just deal with it.
Get the hand ready, will you? Get the hand ready.
Just saying.
And by the way, hey, listen, there's times you don't think my eyes are bleeding. I do a St. John's game on a Saturday night. I get up. The alarm goes off at 4:45 to go do tops. I'm tired, but I'm ready to roll.
Right. But are you getting paid $20 million like these guys?
I'm not a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, suck it up and deal.
Suck it up.
For the past 2 seasons, another person who should maybe suck it up.
Uh-huh.
The Big Ten has missed out on the college.
That was almost number 3, by the way.
No.
Well,
I was
good catch. Good
correcting
catch.
Myself here.
I'm saying good catch. Yeah. Almost.
Now listen, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
All right,
for the past 2
too.
Seasons, speaking of almost, again, the Big Ten has missed out on the college football playoff, with Ohio State almost making the top 4, but finishing just outside the top 4 both years. Clearly, Conference Commissioner Jim Delaney isn't happy that they're being overlooked, saying this to the media yesterday at Big Ten Media Days.
Okay.
The best I can hope for is that the College Football Playoff Committee pays more attention to the founders' effort to value strength of schedule as well as winning conference championships. But I'm not sure that the strength of schedule or the conference championship has been adequately rewarded.
Inbounds, out of bounds. The College Football Playoff Committee has not put enough emphasis on winning a conference championship.
Yeah, I really don't care what Jim Delaney has to say on this. Now, to be fair, he's got to say this to his conference. He's the representative. He's the ambassador. He's the voice. He's the liaison, whatever other word you want to use. But nobody really cares, because nobody can paint a picture to me. You could try to. I'm just not necessarily willing to accept it, that they've gotten screwed. I mean, I'm sorry. There's just a lot of bad teams. A lot of bad teams in that conference. A lot of teams that have zero chance, zero national viability in terms of being even a top 50 program. Forget about top 25, let alone top 10. Listen, I believe it's largely circumstantial based on the year. I think there are certain situations that are frustrating, if I'm going to be fair to Jim Delaney. And I don't know the man. I think we had him on the show once. I don't know him. You know, he's doing what he's got to do. But it's... There's no perfect, you know, harmonious elixir. Nothing that the SEC could drink and the ACC could drink and the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac. It's going to taste differently for everybody. They're going to take a swig of it, and they're each, it's like whiskey. You know, what characteristic or fine wine? Wait, what do you taste there? A little oaky, a little vanilla, a little smoky. Everybody's going to taste something a little different when they take a sip from the playoff port, if you will. So I get it. There's going to be confusion. There's going to be tempers that are raised. And he's doing what he has to do. But it's not compelling enough to get me to change my opinion and necessarily back him strongly. So, no.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You know, I can't wait to get to this coming up, because we spent a lot of time on this yesterday middle of the week. We're going back to the free agency when Nick Saban called the portal system and the transfer system, in essence, compared it to free agency. I think that now, as others weigh in, it gets more and more interesting. And I actually read the transcript. It took me It took me a good hour to do this. Not that that's a ton of time, but I went through every single coach in the Big Ten. All 11 were on record, their views of the portal system and the transfer process in general. Some weren't incredibly, like I didn't find Lovie Smith's comments incredibly poignant. Obviously, I'm going to get back to Jim Harbaugh. He's going to be a big piece of the next conversation. Scott Frost said some interesting things from Nebraska. P.J. Fleck largely took a pass. He didn't really. Kirk Ferentz said some interesting things. It was really a pretty good cross-section of thoughts and ideas, and I'm going to flush through it coming up here on the show. Looking forward to it. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show minus Teak. He's back on Monday. So we'll do a lot of Big Ten as a conference, but obviously bigger picture, the portal system. We'll wrap that up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.